The Psalm number 16, and today we're going to consider the words of verse 6, where we read, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage." This is the first of a number of psalms that have the title Miktam. If you have a Bible with a margin, or you have a Bible that has headings, you will not only find that it's a Psalm of David, but it's entitled Miktam of David. The Psalms number 56, 57, 58, 59, and the Psalms 60 also carry this title, Miktam, a Psalm of David. Most commentators are of the opinion that the term Miktam refers to being a golden psalm. So in a sense, there's a special emphasis placed upon kingship and that which is golden. Now, whenever we consider the Psalm number 16, we would have to really conclude and confirm that this really is a golden psalm, because a psalm is all about Christ, his person, his work. It is therefore a royal psalm, a golden psalm. It's about the King. Today, as we come before the Lord, we come to worship the one who is King of Kings, who is Lord of Lords. Here today, we turn to this very golden psalm. If you'd like to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the New Testament, to the book of Acts and the chapter 2. We'll find here a wonderful comparison here with the Psalm number 16, Acts chapter 2. And by the way, here as we turn to Acts chapter 2, we're reading here about the very powerful sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Not the very fact that Peter is mentioned here in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. He is mentioned quite a lot. And the emphasis, of course, is being placed on the fact that Peter, who had failed the Lord, Peter, who had let the Lord down, Peter, who had denied the Lord with oaths and curses, knows what it is to be forgiven, to be cleansed. Of course, the devil would say to the child of God, "Well, you failed the Lord, you let him down, you're finished. There's no future for you." That's a lie. It's a lie. Don't ever believe that. No, Peter here we find is now one who's filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, Peter is standing right before the Lord. He's standing to preach. And here in the Psalm number 2, or Acts chapter 2, should I say, we have the very powerful sermon that Peter delivered. Look at Acts 2 and the verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And there he begins to lift up his voice, and he preaches a very powerful sermon, a sermon anointed by God, a message filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, for such preaching. Peter here preaches with dynamic power, and he preaches in reference to Christ and the Lord Jesus, his person, his work. And notice with me here, for instance, the substance here of the message that he preached. Look with me here at the verse 25. Because here, Peter, in this very powerful sermon, he references Psalm number 16. Not only does he reference it, but it's the very foundation and at the heart of what he has to preach and say. Verse 25, here we read, and there's a reference, a comparison here with the verse 8 of Psalm number 16. Here in verse 25, Peter says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." Verse 26, "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Here these words from verse 25 to 28 correspond, of course, with Psalm number 16, verses 8 through to 11. You see, here we find that David looked forward in time, for that's who it's speaking of. David looked forward in time to Christ coming into the world, the one, the Lord, who was at his right side, and the Savior coming, laying down his life, offering that supreme sacrifice, becoming the substitute. David, of course, not only looked forward in time to the coming of Christ into the world to live that perfect life, but also to his death and to his resurrection, to his coming again. The Old Testament prophets and saints, they knew much about Christ. We do them a great disservice if we think that they didn't know very much about the Savior. Though they were saved and converted the same way that you and I are, by the person and work of the Lord Jesus. There is only one way to God, and that is through Christ, through his work, and through his shed blood. We find here that as Peter delivered this message, does he preach with power there on the day of Pentecost, that the Lord moved in the hearts of those in heard? Here in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we read, now when they heard this, when they heard this message, when they were pointed to the Psalm number 16, they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. Their hearts were smitten. They realized that they were guilty of putting the Lord Jesus to death, of crucifying the Holy One. Here, in the verse 41, we're told, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What an awakening. What a move of the Holy Ghost. Of course, our cry is, Lord, visit us again. Bless the preaching of thy word. Convict men and women of their sin. Not only does Peter, in that powerful sermon of Pentecost, draw our attention to Psalm number 16, but so did the Apostle Paul. He emphasizes the significance of the Psalm number 16 in relation to Christ. Acts chapter 13. If you'd like to turn to that portion. Here is Paul's sermon on the Sabbath day at Antioch. Acts chapter 13. In the verse number 35. Where Paul preaches and he says, wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell in sleep, and was led unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. And there, both Peter and Paul, they laid, of course, great emphasis on the Psalm number 16 and its emphasis with regards to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection. That on the third day God raised his Son from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, sin, and the grave. The message of the resurrection is the very heart of the gospel. It's the heartbeat of Christianity. If there be no resurrection, then our faith and our hope is in vain. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that very reality. This morning, I want us to, as we look at the Psalm number 16, I want us to focus our attention upon the words here of the verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. David here was speaking about the blessings that the Lord in His sovereignty, His divine will, had appointed him. And so this morning, I just want to focus upon a few of the blessings that the Lord has divinely appointed in our own lives. And by the way, it's just a few. If we were to number the blessings that God has showered upon us, truly and surely it would surprise us just what God has done. How good is the God we adore. David, first of all, I want you to see that he recognized the goodness of God in his life. He said, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." This term, "the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places," is undoubtedly referring to the marking out of the boundaries of the land of Canaan. The children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness for those 40 years. That was mainly due to their sin and their unbelief. They failed to believe God, and time again, they turned against the Lord and against Moses and the Lord's ways. They were on their way to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. But before they went in to possess the land, and of course that was those who were under the age of 20. Before they went in to possess that land, the Lord appointed Joshua to oversee the dividing up of the land. Now whenever the children of Israel, they went into their inheritance, they weren't just to seek out their own inheritance for themselves or to choose their own boundaries. No, the Lord appointed them their lot. He divided up the land. He gave them the exact location of their inheritance. We read in Joshua chapter 18 and verse 10, "And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions." Into the tribes, being told of their exact location of their inheritance. Their borders, in effect, were mapped out by the Lord. The lines were drawn by the Lord. He chose their inheritance. Think of the details of a house that has been drawn up in the plans. And you'll find that the boundaries are drawn up and made and the lines are cast. And sometimes there can be a disagreement, for instance, between neighbours over the boundary. Maybe it's a boundary fence or a strip of land. And they'll go back to the original documents, the legal documents that show the exact boundaries and legally where they stand. God gave them their inheritance. He chose their lot. He appointed their boundaries, the rivers, the fields, the mountains, etc. All that they would have, God gave them, and He blessed them with. So David recognized all he had could receive from the hand of God. He recognized that very fact. It was the Lord who had appointed him and blessed him with each thing. Everything he had, it was because of what God had appointed and given to him. The Lord chose him, didn't he, out of his brothers. He was the least likely to be anointed king, and yet the Lord chose him to be king. The Lord protected him time and time again. Whenever Saul sought for his soul, even times when David was anxious for Saul, yet the Lord drew the line. The Lord protected him. And so David recognized this very fact, that everything he had came from the loving, tender hand of his good God. And can I say, as the Lord's people, you and I ought to be taken up with reflecting and recognizing the goodness of God in our lives. You think of the many privileges that we have today. I mentioned it was really humbling during the week to be part of the missionary prayer time and to join with brethren there and brothers and sisters in Christ right across the globe. And, you know, with folk. They're ministering in very difficult places where there isn't even the freedom of parts to have a Bible, have God's Word, to meet together for public worship. The lines have fallen onto us, haven't they? In pleasant places. So oftentimes we naturally tend to think upon that which is not to our benefit or spiritual building up. We tend to focus on the negative rather than that which we do have and which is positive. I just want to mention a couple of blessings that the Lord has given to us. One of them is certainly the privilege of a Christian home. And for many of us, if not all, a lot of us, we have been given that privilege, that wonderful blessing. Parents, loved ones, prayed for us, wept over us, and you even pointed us to the Savior. Of course, being born in a Christian home and a Christian family does not make a person a Christian. We all know that. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 reminds of the very fact that it's not because of family or blood, not because of our flesh, even our own will. It's not because of the best intentions of others, by the will of man, but it's by the grace of God. Man is not born a Christian. He must become a Christian, a child of God. You think of the blessing that young Timothy had. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Not from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And no doubt Timothy could say, "Lord, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, because I've been brought up under the influence of the gospel and the word of God. I've been taught the word of God from a child." Can I say to those who are young here today, one of the greatest privileges you will have in life, blessings, to be brought up in a Christian home. Truly is. We think of the story of Onesimus. That story, of course, we read about Onesimus in the book of Philemon. Philemon, who was a very godly man, who was a man who loved the Lord, who put the Lord first. Onesimus there was a servant in his house. And basically, summing up the story, we could say that Onesimus sought to get away from the influence of the Christian home and the Christian family. We find that he ran away and he went away to Rome, some 2,000 miles. I think it's a great tragedy today. We have young people who are still doing likewise. The booklet that I produced recently with regards to teaching the truth about drugs, the emphasis is placed upon warning Christian young people and young people brought up in Christian homes about the dangers of things of the world. Because sadly, in my ministry, I seek to reach out to those young people who have gone astray, despite their upbringing, despite the fact that they've been prayed over and taught the Word of God and raised in a Christian family, and the lines been drawn up and fallen in good places under them. Yet despite that very fact, they've crossed over those borders, as it were. And they've gone their own direction. Onesimus sought to run away from the Lord and the things of God. But here's the reality. No man or woman, praise the Lord, is able to outrun the Holy Ghost. And this must could try, and he did. He sought to get away from the Christian home. What an encouragement for us to pray for our loved ones, to pray for those who have gone astray, to pray for those who are in bypath meadows. Lord, bring them back, bring them to thyself. That's exactly what happened with the Essenes. Got converted, and eventually came home. Sad to think that there are those who, despite the blessing of being raised and having the privilege of a Christian home, they resent it, even reject it. Today, each of us needs to recognize we have been blessed, so greatly blessed by the Lord. Maybe you would say, well, I haven't been raised in a Christian home. Having had that blessing, that privilege, well, can I say there's not only the blessing of a Christian home, but also the blessing of a church home, of a church family. I want to tell you today that here you're loved, prayed for. The folk, church here seeks nothing but your spiritual welfare and good. And that's a blessing. What a blessing that is, to be part of that church home. Those of us who are saved by the grace of God, let remember that we're part of that church family. That deals with our very conduct and what we say and what we do and how we treat each other. Not just the things that we don't do, but the things that we do do. The Lord Jesus said, didn't he? Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He said, by this, here's the mark. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. So here's the defining characteristic of the church. By this, that ye love one another. So we are to love one another. We are to recognize, oh, the Lord has been so good to us. He has blessed us with so many spiritual blessings, and so he has. And we're to be kind and good to others, especially those of like precious need. What a blessing, the Christian home, the church home. What a blessing to know that we have a celestial home. Child of God, this world is not our home. We are but strangers. We are but pilgrims passing through. David recognized the blessing of God in his life. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. But he also re-emphasized the blessings of God upon his life. For he went on to say here in the verse 6, yea, I have a goodly heritage. The word here, heritage, is referring to an inheritance. It's speaking about a possession. And whilst David here had a possession upon earth, we find here that as we read the psalm, that's not what he was taking up with. Rather, he's thinking of the inheritance before him, receiving the prize, that eternal glory, his future sealed and secure with the Lord. I'd like to turn with you, please, over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews and the chapter 11, of course known as a great chapter of faith. You have men and women of faith. Moses, Sarah, Noah, great men and women of faith who believed God, who trusted the Lord. The emphasis placed in faith in verse 6, but without faith It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Christian saved and justified alone by faith. The Christian then called to a life of faith, to trust the Lord in every way, at every time. Here, we read about one of those great stalwarts of the faith, Abraham, the servant of the Lord. Abraham called to leave Ur of the Chaldees to go out into that desert place to follow after the Lord. Abraham given the promise of the Lord because he trusted him, because he followed him. Abraham, your seed, your offspring, it's going to be as the stars of heaven, the sand upon the seashore. It's going to be innumerable. Abraham, we find, was looking forward in time. Notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Surely, child of God, we're just strangers. Let it really sink in. Or maybe really grasp this. We are just pilgrims passing through. This world is not our home. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire ever come. That is in heavenly, wherein God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And Abraham looked for that city. His heart was focused upon that city. And so David re-emphasized in the psalm that God had blessed him each and every day of his life. But as he looked forward in future time, he recognized the greatest blessing of all, to be with the Lord. Can I say, just in closing here, David not only recognized the blessings of God in his life and re-emphasized them, but he also rejoiced in the goodness of God toward him. Notice what it says here in the Psalm number 16, what he wrote. It says in verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night. The psalmist here lifts up his voice in adoration, in praise, in worship. Can I say that our lives ought to be marked out, characterized, highlighted with that spirit of praise and appreciation. For all the Lord hath done for me, the hymn writer said, I never will cease to praise him. We ought to have that attitude of gratitude, to be thankful unto the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Blessed be. Wasn't it Job who said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him? And think of all the Lord has done for us, saved us, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How rich, how wealthy, how blessed we are today in Christ. Child of God, let us focus each day on God's goodness. Return thanks to him. Praise him. Take time to do that each day. I started by saying that the psalm here points us to Christ, and right throughout the psalm we're pointed to the Lord. And so does this verse, the verse 6. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. It is humbling to think that. Reminded in the Psalm, or in Hebrews chapter 12, that we as the Lord's people, we are Christ's inheritance. We are His possession. We are His goodly heritage. The redeemed of God, those whom He shed His precious blood for, we belong to Him. It's humbling in Hebrews 12 to be there. And He will present us. And he persevered and He ran that race with the joy that was set before Him. And as we reminded in Jude, it is with exceeding joy that He will present us faultless before His Father. How blessed we are. How truly blessed we are by our great God. Child of God, let us continually lift up our voices to Him. Worship and praise Him. Adore Him. For all the Lord has done for me, I will never, never cease to praise Him. May God bless His word and hearts.